22.
All five of the worlds you propose seem acceptable, though there may be unforeseen complications.
There always are.
If there are human colonies on all these worlds, however, I don't see how the Kias will be able to live there in peace.
Three of the worlds are either in a Pangaea continental formation, or the continents are so close together that Kias could easily fly from all of them to any other.
Which means that ravens and other corvids could do the same.
The other two worlds, however, have at least one continental landmass that is too far from any other for Kias to make the flight.
Or ravens.
The question is, my sister, do you want to share a continent with the Kias and with no humans? Or do you want to share a continent with humans and no Kias?
Why can't we establish two breeding populations of ravens, one on each?
But you agree that sequestering the Kias will be better for everyone.
It will be better for the Kias. Humans tend to want them all dead.
When humans arrived in the Kias' original habitat, New Zealand, the Kias mercilessly attacked the sheep the settlers brought with them. The humans responded as if it had been a declaration of war.
I assume the Kias merely enjoyed playing with the sheep.
Eventually, the humans will forget or ignore the treaty restrictions, and they will come to settle and exploit the continent of birds.
It's our business to make sure we're ready.
For war?
Has anyone ever won a war against the humans?
I'm the only one who ever fought one. That is, my sisters did.
We drove them underground.
Stalemate, not victory.
Will there be a place for the Yachachiruna?
They are part of the folk.
They are not part of the folk, even though they live with them in winter.
Invite them. If they choose to come, the travelers will transport them. Dog, the raven's account of her conversation with the Hive Queen, quoted in Demosthenes, Deliberate Dispersals. There was little discussion about who would go back to the surface of Nest. Peter said, Wang Mu and I are going. Wang Mu said, Our only friend among the Kias is Royal Sun. I am the Royal Mother of the West. And it was settled. They came back in the earliest dawn, before sunrise, to the spot where they had first met the Kias, where Royal Sun had begun to talk to Wang Mu, where later, Sprout had been mobbed. This was the hour of the day when many birds did their foraging. Humans were usually in bed. It was a fairly undisturbed time. But no birds were about. Peter and Wang Mu each turned around several times, searching. Wang Mu whispered, It seems impossible that none of them have seen us.
It is impossible, said Peter softly. Should we call for Royal Sun?
Sounds can be heard by anyone, whispered Wang Mu. They cannot be called back.
Are we afraid of the folk? Aren't they underground? Asked Peter.
All bets are off, said Wang Mu. For one thing, the folk must certainly fear our retaliation for their attempted massacre. Maybe they have laid an ambush for us here on the surface. Why would they imagine we would ever come back?
Because they know, said Wang Mu, that you and I were not with the party they infected.
And they want to kill all the detourists, the travelers.
Let's wait a little longer before leaving. Give the Kias a chance to decide whether to recognize us.
By now they should have stolen everything we're carrying, said Peter.
Or wearing, said Wang Mu.
Every minute the light increased and the ground became more visible. And then Wang Mu saw a little splash of bright shiny green in the grass, and another. She reached down and picked it up. A dead Kia. Peter picked up a Kia, too. There were dozens all around them, hundreds, maybe. They couldn't yet see how far the slaughter had carried into the distance. Wang Mu put the bodies of two Kias into her satchel. Peter did the same with his.
If Royal Sun were coming, he'd be here, said Peter.
Wang Mu took his hand. Everyone was waiting out in the lab when they returned to Kyubei. Procedures now were so disregarded that Miro approached the door to open it. Peter and Wang Mu both signaled him to stop. They opened their satchels and laid the birds on the examining table. Miro turned and asked everyone in the lab,
"Who does birds?"
"We never had any birds but Zingadoras to examine," said Fingers. "And their anatomy is different from any birds from Earth."
"We need autopsies of the dead Kias," said Peter. "Not healing. How did they die?" Soon the anatomists and geneticists were taking samples and opening up corpses. Peter and Wang Mu underwent their checkups, especially their hands, since they had held the birds, and any biological agent might be stuck to their skin. When they were sanitized and pronounced clean, they went out into the lab, looking at slides and vids as they came onto the various monitors. Miro, Jane, Sprout, and Thulium gathered around the station where Wang Mu sat down. Peter knelt on the floor beside her till Miro pulled up a chair for him.
"How many Kias died?" asked Sprout.
"We saw no living Kias," said Wang Mu.
"There were dozens of dead ones scattered randomly across the grass," said Peter. "It never got light enough for us to see farther, but it could have been hundreds."
"Did you call out for Royal Sun?" asked Sprout.
"We did not call out at all," said Wang Mu. "We didn't know who else might hear."
"Very wise," said Miro.
"And no ravens showed up?" asked Thulium.
"The queen says that Dog is still alive," said Jane.
"Then we have to go back," said Peter.
"We have to find out as much as we can about how they died," said Jane.
"Nobody goes back till then."
Jane looked pointedly at Thulium, who nodded her consent. Everyone knew why.
"We have a mission," said Peter. "If the folk have come to the surface to kill birds, then we have no time to waste. If their weapons kill humans, we have all the reason in the world to wait," said Miro.
But the answers didn't take long, because nothing showed up.
"They didn't die of anything," said Quora. "They just died."
"Maybe Rukyak knows," said Sprout.
"Maybe the Yachachiruna invented the weapons," said Little Mum. "Maybe they carried out the massacre."
"I'm going back," said Peter. "I owe it to Dog."
"I owe it to Royal Sun," said Wang Mu. "We don't know that all the Kias are dead."
Fingers spoke up, without raising his gaze from his hollow.
"Take 100 Formic soldiers with you," he said.
The words hung in the air.
"That depends on the circumstances," said Jane, and on the Queen's willingness.
We won't go back to the same place, said Peter. We'll go to the meadow near the Raven Council.
Good plan, said Jane. They might all be dead too, said Thulium.
If that's the case, said Peter, if they've committed xenocide against the Kias and the Ravens, then I think we should turn Sergeant loose underground.
We will not do that, said Wang Mu. If the folk killed the Kias we found, it can't have been a unanimous choice by all the folk. We don't punish all for the crimes of a few.
In war you do, said Thulium.
We are not at war, said Wang Mu.
And we are not the judges of Nest. All we are is the hope of moving as many sentient creatures away from Nest as we can.
If there are any Kias left, said Sprout, we won't lack for volunteers to join us. The two of you won't go alone and unsupported, said Miro. And this time, you go with a box.
And we bring back all the birds that will fly inside, said Sprout.
Are there drying racks? Asked Ayla. Shelves? Hat racks? Something they can roost on? They can't all fit on the floor.
It took about 20 minutes to fill the box with possible roosts. Nobody rode inside it. Jane would bring it along. Miro, Ella, and Quora insisted on coming. So did several of the cousins, pleading that it wasn't fair for Thulium and Sprout to go to Nest again and again. Jane silenced them with a glare.
Go first, said Jane to Peter and Wang Mu. I'll land the box about 30 meters away.
Peter and Wang Mu hardly had a chance to look around before everyone else in the expedition arrived. Sprout and Thulium arrived at the same time, but separately. Wang Mu was pretty sure Sprout had brought himself, without any need for Thulium's help. Quora, Miro, and Ella looked around at the plants, seeing whatever it was that ecologists and xenologers looked for in a new world. Peter and Wang Mu, without discussion, walked toward the council trees, and when Wang Mu knelt in the grass, so did Peter. Wang Mu spoke aloud, but did not shout. If the ravens were there, they would hear her.
Can Dog or Phoenix speak to us? Or is there someone else who can talk to us?
There was a rustling in the leaves, and then a naked man with long arms and hands for feet swung down and sat in the grass before them.
Rukyak! Sprout greeted him.
This isn't a safe place for birds, said Rukyak. They have all moved away west and north.
How did the Kias die? Asked Peter.
Were there survivors? Asked Wang Mu.
Were the ravens also slaughtered? Asked Sprout.
Did you know they were going to do this? Asked Thulium.
Rukyak held out his hands.
There isn't time for a story, he said. Did you come to carry away the Kias and ravens? Because almost all of them beg you to take them.
Jane turned to the others. The only destination is Lusitania, the meadow beyond the fence. Plenty of time to transport them to the right colony worlds later.
Should I lead you to where they are gathering? Asked Rukyak.
Can we trust you? Demanded Thulium.
What an annoying child, said Rukyak. Sprout, I want to go with you too. I can't live with these crimes committed by the folk.
First, said Miro, what is the nature of the weapon that killed so many Kias? Will it harm us too?
I assume it's a combination of ultrasound and infrasound, said Rukyak. It's a weapon I designed for riot control 20 years ago. It keeps the peace underground.
So, not utopia after all, said Thulium.
No one ever said it was,
said Sprout.
Can you point me in the right direction?
Jane asked Rukyak. He rose to his feet and turned to point west-northwest. Instantly, they were all standing in a different meadow with different trees around them. The box was still 30 meters away, and Rukyak was still standing and pointing.
Oh, said Rukyak.
And then, oh, again.
To Wang Mu's great relief, she saw the fluttering of bright-colored wings. There were living kias here. And ravens, though as usual they kept their distance, watching, waiting.
Sprout stepped forward, away from the group of humans.
If you want to go to another world, go into the box.
Immediately, kias swarmed into the open door of the box. While kias were still queued up outside, Jane called out,
When you see you're on another world, all of you leave the box. You will harass no humans. You will steal nothing. You will break nothing.
Then the box disappeared.
I need ravens now, called Jane. Ravens, come and gather here in the grass.
At once the kias flew away from the area she indicated, and ravens flew in, not vocalizing at all, but with the beating of their wings, making a rushing sound, like the crashing of waves. The ravens hadn't all settled themselves when they disappeared. Then the box reappeared, its door open, with no birds inside. Kias again swarmed into the box.
To Wang Mu, it seemed as if the supply of birds was endless. 10, 20, 30 times Jane sent the box, as well as loose birds on the grass.
Can we help you? Asked Peter.
Don't interfere with my bandwidth, said Jane.
Peter turned to Wang Mu.
So I guess I can't ask if she's sent Dog or Phoenix or Royal Sun onto Lusitania.
I have, said Jane, all three. Now shut up.
At last, there were no birds left, except for a few that hovered off in the distance, apparently ravens and kias that had no wish to go, even under threat of death from the weapons of the folk. That was when there emerged from the trees a band of humans, all naked and long-armed and short-legged, male and female, carrying no possessions.
Can we trust you to come to our world in peace?
Miro cried out to them. They knelt in the grass, and they were gone. They waited a few more minutes. Jane called out once, Now is the time, we will not come back. Three more of the Yachachiruna came out of the trees and ran toward them. They disappeared in mid-run.
Jane turned to the others. Peter and Wang Mu, Thulium and Sprout, take everybody back. Miro, bring the box. And me.
Bring me. I'm exhausted. The meadow? Asked Miro. Too many birds there, said Peter. Kyubei, except for the box.
They arrived in Kyubei and immediately rushed outside. Now they could see clouds of birds, flying, dipping, sometimes chaotic, sometimes with astonishing order, like watching vids of schools of fish in the sea.
Jane said, Let's all go to that clear area, just beyond the fence.
When they were standing in the appointed place, the swarming of the birds ended. They all alit in the grass, making a patchwork carpet of bright kias in this patch, black ravens in that, all facing the humans.
I can't divide you into your tribes and leks, said Jane loudly. You need to divide yourselves into your breeding populations. Don't make any mistakes, because once I take you to your new colony world, you can't change your minds.
The birds swarmed again, seeking out their companions.
Wang Mu noticed that the ravens seemed to fly in pairs as they gathered into groups. A raven fluttered out of the group and landed on Jane's shoulder. Wang Mu recognized Dog. Jane apparently heard her say something and called out, "Ravens who want to be on the same continent with the Kias, I need 2 breeding populations of you. To my left. Kias, divide into 2 groups. And yes, that means I don't trust you to behave around humans." The sorting continued. "If you think you chose the wrong group, change now," called Jane. A few hundred birds flew from one group to another. And then they were all settled. Jane had her arm around Miro's waist. Sprout and Thulium walked to her and touched her arm.
"Should we?" asked Wang Mu.
Peter said, "I think there'll be enough to sustain her. She'll ask for us if she needs us." One by one, the color-sorted patches of birds disappeared.
"I wonder if anyone has warned the colonies what's coming," said Peter.
"She won't send them to human-populated places," said Wang Mu.
"We'll go around and tell them all what happened and inform them that they're sharing their world, not with 2 other alien species, but with 4 or 5 or 6.
The Yachachi Runa were all still gathered near the edge of the woods.
"We don't have to send them off yet," said Peter.
"They'll take some getting used to," said Wang Mu.
"And they eat what humans eat. They'll have to be taken to the human colonists on each world. Or maybe they'll all go to the same world. There may be only 1 breeding population of the engineers."
"Wherever they go," said Wang Mu, "that colony will have the best designed and built and maintained machinery."
"Remember that the Formics do fine with metalwork," said Peter. "But yes, there will be advantages to having Quechua-speaking engineers living in the trees. Has to be a world with branchy trees."
Jane and her companions leapt to a place near the Yachachi Runa, but Peter put his arm around Wang Mu and said,
"I know you're not tired at all, and I know you wish we knew where our Raven and Kia friends were sent, but for right now, our baby is very tired, and she won't nap till you get to sleep."
"Nonsense," said Wang Mu. "The baby sleeps on its own schedule. Not she, not he, it, till we know. We don't want anybody to think we're hoping for one sex more than the other."
They detoured to the barracks inside their own room.
"Did we have breakfast?" asked Wang Mu.
"Yes," said Peter. "But a nice combination of lunch and supper would be nice about now. Let me call the mess hall and ask if they can send something over."
By the time the food arrived, they were both asleep. Anticipating this, the cooks had prepared meals that could wait outside the door of their room until morning.
At the forest's edge, Rukyak asked Jane,
"Can we stay here?"
"No," said Jane.
"You think the Lusitanians won't accept us?"
"They probably will," said Jane. "But there are no trees you can swing on or nest in. They are all the surviving remnants of dead Pecaninos. Every tree is sacred here."
"Ah," said Rukyak. "Those are stories I would like to hear."
"We may bring you back for a visit from time to time."
"I assume that we're too naked to be tolerated by most of the humans."
"This is a good Catholic colony," said Jane. "So are all the others."
"How dressed do we need to be? Loincloths are easy, and they don't interfere with our mobility very much, but it's hard for us to put on shirts and take them off."
Covering your private parts would be a very good start, said Jane. And if the women among you could cover their breasts, that would also help.
Then may we stay a few days while we get cloth and needles and thread to make our coverings?
Jane grinned. I'm not your ruler, you know. I'm just your bus driver.
Oh, you're our ruler, like it or not, said Rukyak. We knew it was only a matter of time before the folk decided they didn't need us so much anymore. They'd either kill us or they'd keep us underground where they could control us.
They do understand, don't they, that if we wanted to harm them, they couldn't keep us out of their caverns, said Jane.
Maybe they think because the underground world is so vast that they could hide from you, said Rukyak.
They probably could, said Jane, but not forever. Fortunately, we're not interested in Nest anymore, now that those willing to emigrate have left the place.
I'm afraid for our brothers and sisters, said Rukyak. I did my best to explain what you are and what you can do, but either they don't fear the folk as much as I do, or they fear you more than they should.
Everyone chooses and then lives with the choice, said Jane. Most people regret most of their choices, at least a little. Sprout walked up to Rukyak. When you leave Lusitania, I won't have any more of your stories.
Foolish boy, said Rukyak. Jane will show you where I am, and then you can come to me whenever you want. What does distance mean to you?